So our scripture this morning is from Joshua chapter 5 and verses 13, 14, and 15. And if that sounds familiar to you, it's because it's the same passage that we had last week. It'll be the same passage that we look at next week. We're having this three-part series about Joshua and how God was using him and preparing him as the people came up to, the Israelites came up to the walled fortress of Jericho. So this is Joshua chapter 5, verses 13 through 15. Now when Joshua was near Jericho, he looked up and saw a man standing in front of him with a drawn sword in his hand. Joshua went up to him and asked, "Are you for us or for our enemies?" "Neither," he replied, "but as a commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come." And then Joshua fell face down to the ground in reverence and asked him, "What message does my Lord have for his servant?" Well, the commander of the Lord's army replied, "Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy." And Joshua did so. This is the word of God for the people of God. So just a reminder, the Old Testament people of God, the Israelites, were on the move. They had spent 400 years in captivity in Egypt, and Moses, kind of tapped on the shoulder by God to be a leader, Moses led the people in the Exodus out of Egypt. But they wandered for 40 years in the wilderness. But after that, they were finally moving, ready to head into the promised land, God's promised land for them, a land flowing with milk and honey, a land filled with the blessings that God could provide for this nation, the descendants of Abraham. There was one problem, though, with them being on the move and ready to move into the promised land, and that problem was Jericho. Like I said, a massive city, walled fortress, right there in the path that the people were taking to head into the promised land. Joshua had taken the leadership reins from Moses. He had been assured by God of victory over Jericho. He had been guaranteed that the people would be moving into and inheriting this land that God had promised to them. And the Lord had personally guaranteed to Joshua that he would remove that obstacle called Jericho. But before the walls could come tumbling down, Joshua and the people of Israel, the Israelites, they needed to be prepared. And that's why in this scripture, Joshua does three things. He looks up, he falls down, and he takes off his sandals. What the Israelites were learning here is that this victory that God had promised them wasn't simply something that would be just like a Christmas present. They would open up and there it is. They learned that this was going to be a process. It was going to involve some preparation, and that process is as important as the outcome. They were learning that doing what God wants them to do is only part of what it means to be obedient and faithful. Doing what God wants them to do the way God wants them to do it is the other part of being obedient and faithful. God's going to take care of the outcome. He's always already promised that to the people, to Joshua. There is going to be victory over Jericho. There's going to be an actual inhabiting of the promised land. That was promised by God, and he's going to take care of that outcome. Joshua and the Israelites needed to be faithful and obedient to do things God's way. They were learning God's in charge. He loves them. He's going to take care of things for them. And they need to just be in step, in sync with him. We're also thinking about what would that look like for us if we were headed toward the promised land. If we had a promised land that we envisioned in our life, a place where we would like to be that was flowing with God's blessings. And maybe it would be something to do with a relationship that we have, or maybe in our marriage or our home, or maybe it's in our place of work, or maybe in our faith and our relationship with God. Where is a place of preferred preference, of something that you hope would be the case for the best case scenario for a particular situation or relationship? But you also know that maybe I'm not there yet. We have this vision of what we would like to see, but we know we're not quite where we'd like to be with that yet. And there might be a Jericho standing in our way. What's the obstacle that's keeping us from entering that place of blessing that God has in store for us? The good news is that God has a victory for us. His plans for us are to prosper us and not to harm us, to give us hope and a future from Jeremiah 29:11. He promises to always be with us, never to leave us or forsake us. He promises never to put more on our plate than we can handle. He promises to work for our good and to bless us with abundant and eternal life. He has made us more than conquerors, and we are overcomers, praise the Lord. That's the good news. But sometimes it doesn't feel like that. Sometimes it feels like we've hit a wall, right? Am I right? Anybody ever been there? Yeah. We know God's promises to us. We know how good his love is to us. We've experienced the promised lands, the mountaintops before in our walk with the Lord. But sometimes when we're on a journey and we're in the process, when we're being prepared, it just seems like we're not getting anywhere. We're spinning our wheels. We've come across a Jericho, an obstacle in our way. And so that victory and that overcoming requires some patience on our part, but it also requires us to be intentional about some things. Like we saw last week, Joshua looked up, and it requires us to do the same. God prepares us for the victories that are coming. He prepares us on our journeys when we're heading toward the promised lands in our lives. He's preparing us. And part of that preparation is to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, to keep our eye on the ball, so to speak, to keep our eye on the main thing, to allow that focus that we're supposed to have on the Lord, to allow that to take front and center stage. So where are you in the process of overcoming? How are you doing with your preparation, your spiritual growth? How's that journey going for you? You know, that preparation is kind of like what happens around Thanksgiving. You know, the victory on Thanksgiving Day is we're with folks that we love and we're enjoying this wonderful, bountiful harvest meal together. That's the victory. But again, it just doesn't come all prepared in a box. You open it up and there it is. There's a lot of preparation for Thanksgiving Day victory, isn't there? There's a lot of work that goes in ahead of time for days, even weeks of preparation, especially if you're traveling someplace, especially if people are coming maybe to be with you. There's a lot of work ahead of time that needs to be prepared to make sure that gathering takes place properly. Then there's all kinds of work that needs to be done for the meal. There's all kinds of work to be done to prepare the food. And you know how that goes. It's an involved process that's done with love, but it sure requires a lot of work. It's the same thing with the victories in other areas of our lives. And so there might be health or finances or relationships or whatever. There's things that we know we're not quite there yet, but we are excited about heading there, but there's work to do. There's preparation to do. And so for this lesson that the Israelites are learning and that we're learning along with them is that they knew that God was in charge. They knew that good things were coming, but they also knew that God wanted them to do things his way. And so the first step was to make sure they were keeping their eyes fixed on where they needed to be. Their focus was on him. The first step that Joshua took in his preparation was to look up, to look to the Lord for help. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 57 says, "Thanks be to God. He gives us the victory through Jesus Christ." That's where the good stuff's coming from, is through our Lord. And so keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. But the second step Joshua took was to fall down. And that sounds a little strange, because when we think about falling down, that's usually not something that we want to do. In fact, when we think about falling down, we think about trying to avoid it at all costs. It's a scary, dangerous, hurtful, often painful, problematic thing if we fall down. When we see somebody or hear somebody falling, that's a worrisome thing to us. Because when you fall down, bad things can happen. And we remember Humpty Dumpty, who sat on a wall. Humpty Dumpty, who had a great fall. All the king's horses, all the king's men couldn't put Humpty back together again. We don't want to fall off the wall. And so when we think of falling down, that's not usually a picture that we envision ourselves in. And yet here's what Joshua did. He fell down. He fell face down. He fell face down in reverence to the situation that he was in. So spiritually speaking, falling down and our humbleness or our brokenness is valuable. Physically, we don't want to go there, but spiritually, we do. And so that falling face down in reverence is what Joshua does now. That's his second step. And that's a sign of humbleness before the Lord, a sign of surrender before the Lord, a sign of a willingness to be broken before the Lord. It doesn't mean we have a nervous breakdown or we fall apart. It means we're willing to lose ourselves in the fullness of God, willing to do whatever he asks of us in faithful obedience, no matter what the cost. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7 puts it this way. We have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We're hard-pressed on every side but not crushed. We're perplexed but not in despair. We're persecuted but not abandoned. We're struck down but not destroyed. We have this treasure in jars of clay. And in order for that treasure to be shared, that jar of clay needs to be broken. And for that treasure to be spread around, to be spilled out. That treasure in jars of clay is talking about our fragileness as human beings. And in this life, we're blessed with experiencing that precious oil of God's amazing grace, and it fills us to overflowing. But it's meant to be spilled out through our lives, and oftentimes it comes most powerfully spilled out of our lives in our brokenness and the things we struggle with and in facing the obstacles that are in our way. That's why Joshua had to fall down. He needed to be broken before the Lord. He needed to be ready to do the will of God. You remember, Jesus came to that point in his life, probably at the hardest point of his earthly existence. He had to fall down, face down, broken before the Father. In fact, that's how the Bible puts it in Matthew chapter 26, verse 39. Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane. He spent the night with the 12 during in the upper room. They shared the Passover meal. He broke bread with them, passed the cup, and then they went to the garden. And they were singing songs, and they went out there in a special time of being together. And then it was late at night. They were all tired. Jesus asked them to pray. And they prayed there, and Jesus went a little bit over here, and he prayed. And the Bible says in Matthew 26, 39, he fell face down and prayed. And you remember what he prayed out of his brokenness, out of knowing what was about to happen. He said, if it's possible, Father, let this cup of suffering pass from me. But not my will, thy will be done. And so we all need to get to that place in our journeys where we just own our brokenness, that we're not perfect, that some things are hard, that they're not happening the way we hoped or thought that they would be happening. And falling face down means we just own our brokenness before the Lord and let him pour his grace out, and not out only upon us, but also through us. That's what happened in Jesus' life. He poured his brokenness out before the Father. And grace was poured into his life for strength for that next day, that Good Friday. But also grace was poured out through his brokenness for all of us, for life, salvation. That process, that preparation is important. It was important for Joshua. It was important for the people of Israel, the Israelites in the Old Testament, important for us today. Before the walls of Jericho could come tumbling down, Joshua needed to be broken. He needed to humble himself before the Lord. In the New Testament, James chapter 4, verse 1 puts it this way, humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. The promise is victory, but there comes some preparation, some process for that to happen. So how do we do that? How do we fall down on our faces before the Lord? How do we humble ourselves before God? Well, how did Joshua do it? It's not difficult to see what happens. It might be difficult to see, well, what does that mean about me? So that's where we'll try to get to. I mean, it's very simple. In this verse, he looked up, he saw a man standing there, and then he fell down. He fell down to the ground in reverence. And so that seems like a simple thing. Let's look a little deeper into it. It says, now when Joshua was near Jericho, he looked up, he saw a man that was standing there with a sword in his hand. And remember what's on Joshua's mind, the very forefront of all of his thinking. He's thinking about, how do we overcome this obstacle of Jericho? And he sees this man standing there with a drawn sword in his hand, and Joshua went up to him and asked him. The first thing that Joshua did was not to presume what the Lord was doing at that point. It could have been easy to say, "Woohoo, you're here. I see you got your sword drawn. I know you're going to be fighting for us. And okay, we're going to rally behind you. How many soldiers do you need? You be in charge and let's go." It could have been easy for him to presume what this man was there for. But that's not what he did. He went up to him and asked him a question. He tried to find out what was going on. You see, it's easy for us to presume that the Lord's going to work in our life in a certain way. We have confidence that we know that God loves us. We have confidence that we know that God's going to work in this way. But then we can be wrong if we presume too much. And so Joshua, in his willingness to be humble, went up and asked him a question. He went up to try to figure out for sure what that man was doing. He wasn't going to presume. It's kind of like when Moses got to the Red Sea. They had been delivered, escaped from Egypt. They were heading toward the Promised Land. They had to go through the wilderness first, but before they got to the wilderness, there was this big obstacle called the Red Sea. And Moses and the people of Israel, the Israelites, got to the right to the shore of the Red Sea, and the Egyptian army and Pharaoh were hot on their trail. They're coming. They could see the dust on the horizon. What are we going to do? There's this Red Sea. We're kind of caught here. And Moses presumed a little bit about how the Lord was going to work. He said to the people, don't worry. Just stand still and you will see God work for you. He had confidence in God. He knew God was going to help them. He knew God was going to rescue them. He knew that God had promised that Moses was going to lead the people out of Egypt. He knew that. And so with that confidence, he said, just stand still. But that was the wrong presumption, because the Lord said to Moses, what are you doing? Why are you standing still? Raise your staff up and move forward through the water. Oh, okay, let's do that then. And so Moses lifted his staff up and the waters parted, and there the people didn't have to stand still, they had to move. Same thing happened with David. David had brought some lunch for his brothers who were serving in the Israelite army, and yet they were all kind of on the battlefront facing the Philistines. But nobody was doing anything. There wasn't any fighting going on. And David, the younger of the brothers, he was kind of passing out the stuff that he brought from home to his brothers, and he said, what's going on? How come nobody's fighting the Philistines? Well, look down there in the valley. They got this huge monster of a man. His name's Goliath. Nobody wants to fight him. David said, I'll fight him. And so King Saul, who was in charge at that point, said, okay, now listen, before you go down there, David, you need to, here he's presuming, Saul is, you need to wear my armor. Put my armor on you. Now here's King Saul, full-grown adult, and here's little young David, a teenager. And he was just, you know, doing what the king said. You know, he tried to put on his armor, but it didn't fit. It wasn't going to work right. No, David said, I can't do this. This doesn't fit me. It's not right for me. Just give me a slingshot and some stones, and I'll head down there and see what I can do. You know, King Saul was presuming that, yeah, the Lord was on their side. He didn't doubt that at all. He had confidence that they were going to win over the Philistines. But he presumed wrong. God was going to work in a different way. And so to humble ourselves before the Lord, we must stay open in our perspective. We must refrain from quick judgment and concede sometimes that our opinions of what God is doing might not be exactly accurate. And so that's one way we humble ourselves. We don't presume. We remain open before the Lord. What else did Joshua do? Well, so he goes up to the man and he asks him a question. He says, are you for our enemies or are you for us? See, that was a really smart thing on Joshua's have to think about. Okay, I'm not going to presume what God is doing. I need to go find out. So I'm not going to assume that he's for us. I'm not going to assume he's for anybody. I'm going to go ask him. And so Joshua and the Israelites had been praying all along for victory over Jericho. They've been praying all along because they'd spent so much time wandering in the wilderness. They were excited and eager to move forward and to get to the promised land. But Joshua, in his excitement, wasn't going to assume that this special agent, this man that was right in front of him, wasn't going to assume that he was for them or for the enemies. He just wasn't going to assume anything. And so that's why he went up and asked him, are you friend or are you foe? And see, if we're going to be humble before the Lord, we can't assume how he's going to answer our prayers. We can pray, and we should pray, and the Bible calls us to pray unceasingly. But in our brokenness, we never pray perfectly, but that's not the point of prayer. The point of prayer is, again, to be humble before the Lord and share with him what's on your heart and cry out with all your might before the Lord, whether it's praise and thanksgiving or whether it's crying out for help. Either one, we cry out from our soul. That's what prayer is. But we can't assume in that, in being humble before the Lord, how he's going to answer our prayers. When Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane that night, he'd fallen on his face in reverence of the Father, asking for this cup of suffering to be taken from me. And he couldn't assume how the Father was going to answer that prayer. As soon as he stood up from that prayer, Judas was there with a group of people who came to arrest him. That was the answer to his prayer right then and there. We pray because we don't know exactly what the future holds. We don't know exactly how things are going to work out for ourselves or for people that we care about. And we should be praying that way. And it's easy to speculate and try to outguess God, but that's not what surrender and humbleness is all about. Surrender and humbleness is about trusting the Lord. He's going to answer your prayer. He hears your prayer. But we can't assume when we're going to see the answer to our prayers. We can't assume how exactly those prayers are going to work out. But we do know that God is good, and he loves us. And the promise that we have in Romans chapter 8 is that he works for the good for those who love him. And so you can stand in that confidence. Joshua was standing in the confidence that he knew the victory over Jericho was coming, but he wasn't going to assume how the Lord was going to do that. And that's why he went up to this man and asked him. To humble ourselves before the Lord, we need to stay open in our expectations and be willing to change our thinking. Finally, then Joshua fell face down to the ground in reverence, and he asked the man, "What message does my Lord have for me, for his servant?" See, Joshua fell down because he realized that as great a leader as he was, as confident as he was about God's promise, he was not in charge. Joshua was not in charge. He knew that. God was in charge, and he knew that. And so he humbly, reverently asked, "What orders does the Lord have for me? What's his word for me today? What instructions does he have for me? Does my commander, the Lord, the authority of my life, have anything for me to do right now?" He asked that man, "What word does the Lord have for me today?" Joshua didn't want to resume his plan. He wanted to know God's plan. So he didn't presume, he didn't assume, and he didn't resume. See, that's a good preacher thing right there. He didn't resume what he was planning to do. He humbled himself, surrendered himself to do whatever God wanted him to do. If it was up to Joshua, he probably would have taken the strength from that commander with the sword in his hand and rallied all of the troops that the Israelites had and gone in and done battle trying to knock down the walls with all kinds of things. But that's not the plan the Lord had in mind. We know the rest of the story. We know God's plan and how he wanted the walls to come tumbling down. And it wasn't with any means of violent or warfare. It was actually the priests and the people walking around the city on the outsides of the walls and then blowing trumpets. And God using that particular unique, strange, peculiar way to remove the obstacle from the path of his people. We can't resume our normal course of action when we're on the path to victory. We must be willing to be broken, to stop in our tracks, humble ourselves, surrender to God, and ask him to instruct us, ask him to reveal to us his plan. Be ready to change course once we see the course that God is on. And that means paying attention to what he has to say to us through his word, paying attention in prayer to what the Holy Spirit may be leading us to think or to do. It means obeying his commands, abiding by his teachings, his instructions, following his plan for our life as holy persons, loved by God, holy persons who love him. Peter learned this lesson. If you remember, after the crucifixion, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, Jesus appeared to the disciples and many others for about 40 days before he ascended back into heaven. And during those appearances, different things happened. And one day, after the resurrection and before the ascension, Peter just got the thought that, I think I'm going to go fishing. I mean, that was his trade. He was a fisherman. He's a professional fisherman. And so he told the others, I'm going to go fishing. Well, several of them said, well, we'll go with you. And so they got out in the boat on the water, and they were fishing. This is in John chapter 21. They saw somebody on the shore. And somebody on the shore said, hey, how's it going? And they said, well, we're not doing anything. We haven't caught anything. Well, throw your net on the other side, see what happens. They threw their net on the other side, and the net was just full of fish. They were bringing in fish so much so they can hardly stand it. You know what that did? That reminded Peter, wait, this happened before. That must be, it is. And so he jumped into the water, and he ran to shore. And, of course, he met up with the resurrected Lord. Wait a minute, Peter. Why are you fishing? Didn't Jesus call you to be a fisher of men? Didn't he say when he first called you to follow me, say, hey, you've been fishing for perch and for bass. I'm going to make you fishers of men and women. Why are you out here fishing, Peter? You can't resume your normal course of action when the Lord has another plan for you to go this way. To feed my sheep, Peter. Feed my sheep. We have this treasure in jars of clay, and we're meant to be broken so that the grace that we experience, that precious treasure within us, can be spilled out. And only as we humble ourselves before God, only then can God move us into the promised land, into areas of blessing and wholeness. When we presume, when we assume, when we resume, we are basically trying to protect ourselves from being broken. But when we're willing to surrender before God and not presume and not assume and not resume, then we're in a place where God can move us forward. I thought this week how interesting that this idea of falling down is kind of the topic for today, when we have so much that's falling down outside. We have several trees in our yard, and the leaves are falling down like crazy this week. We can't hardly keep up with them. And that's actually one of the ways this season of autumn actually became known as fall, because so many things are falling down. The leaves from the trees. The beauty is inspiring. The colors are great, but they go away eventually, and they fall. And again, physically, that's not something that that we want to pursue. But spiritually, falling down before the Lord is exactly where we want to be. And so I don't know. Maybe as we look at the leaves falling off the trees, we might just be reminded that Joshua fell down on his face reverently in order for God to continue the process of preparing him for victory. Jesus fell down in the Garden of Gethsemane, face down, in his preparation for the greatest victory of all. So maybe God is preparing you for moving into an area of more victory in your life, more blessing in your life. But it's also going to require some falling down before him. Get it? Good. Let's pray together. Oh Lord, we thank you for the reminder this morning of how important it is for us to humble ourselves before you. Unless that happens, you cannot lift us up. So we pray today that you will help us in this process of spiritual growth, in this process of growing in the likeness of Christ, and in this process of moving forward to an area of greater blessing and whatever dimension of our life that may mean. Help us to be reminded that we need to be humble before you, surrendered, not presuming what you're going to do, not assuming how you're going to answer our prayer, not resuming our own personal track on which we think we need to go, but being willing to be open to sense how you are working, and maybe it's in a new way that we've never even expected or thought of before. Help us to see that. Help us again, Lord, to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. Help us to be humble in your presence. We thank you for your love for us, your amazing grace, your incredible blessings. We stand in our life confident of that amazing grace that surrounds us. But help us at the same time to fall down before you, humbling ourselves, that you can have your own way with us. Not our will be done, Lord, but thy will be done. That's our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.